With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Craig Hoffman will be packing his bag soon to head to Indy for the NFL Scouting Combine. What's up, Craig? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
Doing well.
When is the Combine now? How far away are we from it?
I will be in Indianapolis by this time next week.
Oh, wow. It's next week.
I am there Tuesday to Saturday next week, and we will be on the fan and have coverage at thefandc.com all week long.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, and what jumped out at me, now I think it was a typo in your email, and then I saw later in your story, it's actually first and second round picks, but 28 of the 32 starting quarterbacks have been selected in either the first or the second round. So for all those people out there that say, we have other needs, which you're right, they got a ton of needs. I can't remember a Redskins team having a year where they haven't had, where they've had this many needs. But you can't just draft one in the fourth round and hope you hit it on Kirk Cousins. I mean, that just rarely happens.
Right, and of course, Kirk was taken in the same draft where they took a guy in the first round. And luckily, yes, that typo was just in my email. 28 of the 32 first and second rounds, 24 of the 28 were first round picks. The conclusion I draw off of that isn't that the Redskins need to take a quarterback in the first round. It's that if they're not going to take one in the first round, good luck getting it right, and good luck drafting a guy for the future that's not in the first round. It just is extraordinarily rare that that happens, and it is getting clearly rare because I don't feel like that used to be the case. I might have to do some kind of follow-up piece after Indy where I go back and look
go at... Go back like 10 years.
Yeah, go back and look at some other years and say, all right, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, where did the quarterbacks get drafted? But clearly right now, something has happened where these quarterbacks that succeed are the ones that they're able to identify early. And I was also kind of... not surprised, but I did notice as I was going through this exercise just how many of them have been taken in the last 5 years or so in the first round. Now, that also doesn't mean there aren't busts. It just means that the second, third, fourth round quarterbacks aren't coming through to being starters in the league. Does that mean they should just blindly take a quarterback in the first round? No. But if they like a guy, they should take him. And to me, that is the point of all of this. You can't go in with this strategy of, oh, we're just going to take the best non-quarterback. We're not taking quarterback in the first round, and we'll get a guy later. That you're probably just wasting a draft pick.
And then just looking at the list of all the first-round guys who are starters, most of them are high first-round guys.
Yeah.
If not number one picks.
Right, and it's bizarre to try to figure this out because there's no like real mathematical formula to be able to do this of, okay, is that because these guys were worthy of those picks, or is it because, you know, were they really the first, fifth, seventh, whatever it is, best player in that draft? Probably not. If we were to go back and do that analysis, there are times where some of them are, but, you know, is the best player in every draft really a quarterback, or is it simply because of the value and that teams go, oh, crap, if we don't have one, we're screwed. We better go up and get him, or we better overdraft, so to speak, that guy. And again, it doesn't mean that the Redskins need to take a first-round quarterback. If they like Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray and they don't like Daniel Jones and Drew Lock, then, and that's hypothetical, you know, that's not how they necessarily feel. I actually, for a fact, know they were intrigued by Jones as of Mobile. But if they like the Murray and Haskins and they don't like Jones and Locke, and by 15, the first two are gone, don't waste a pick on a quarterback you don't like. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's merely that at that point you have to go, man, we're going to have to figure something else out at quarterback probably because drafting a guy later isn't the play.
Well, they clearly need to figure something out because as much as we know they love Colt, or at least Jay has a fondness for him, the guy started 6 games in the last 7 years. And, I mean, you can say what you want about win-loss record. He's won 1 game in the last 7 years. That was the Monday night game. He can't stay healthy. He's not your prototypical starting quarterback in this league. He fits the mold, perfect backup quarterback. He doesn't scream starting quarterback. And yet, you know, they're in such a bind here. When that news came out that the Redskins were that second team after Flacco, I'll be honest, it shocked me, not because they don't need a quarterback. They do. It shocked me that they'd be willing to spend that kind of money to bring in a veteran, an aging veteran, and have $50, $60 million locked up in one position. I don't think that's feasible. That's why I think they have to go with a young quarterback and roll the dice early. What it tells me, Craig, and I want to get your input on this, is if they were seriously willing to go after Joe, that puts all these other guys on the table, and I understand it. They're better than what we have, and they'd be a help. But it's such a hindrance financially, I don't know how they could swing it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was stunned.
Right.
And, you know, maybe I had just been so focused on the college guys and trying to get information that I hadn't asked the right questions of people in that front office to really feel out that they were interested in a veteran like that, because I just assumed they wouldn't be. And to me, like, the only way it makes sense to spend real money on quarterback this year is to do something I don't think they're – it would be two ways. One, first-round picks cost real money. I think sometimes we forget about that. Oh, they'll bring in a cheap rookie. Okay, well, the cheap rookie is going to be the fourth rounder, and the analysis I just did said that's probably a waste of a draft pick. That guy's never going to be a starter ever, nevertheless, as a rookie. So that would be one way to get a cheap quarterback in here. Or to spend money on quarterback would be do it in the first round, but at that point you're making an investment in your future and it's worth it. The other way – would be to cut Alex and say, we're going to take, and this would be like for a guy like Nick Foles, so you'd want to sign to a long-term extension, or a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, you probably want to sign to a long-term extension, is, look, Alex, we love you, we support you, but ultimately, like, we need to move on as a franchise.
We know you can't play.
So, yeah.
If they and cut him, how would that work financially?
So the money then goes into this year.
All into
they
this
were,
year.
Yeah. So they were the guaranteed money remaining, they would get some insurance relief likely. And so that would help a little bit. I want to say it's like $12.5 million. It's not a lot, relatively speaking. But they all of the guaranteed future money goes into this year.
Which is like what, like $50 million something?
Is it 55?
Yeah, I think it's like 40.
That's it's only 40?
40 actually, after
no,
the 12?
No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, so I think I haven't looked at the numbers in a while. And again, the reason I haven't done this is because it's so far-fetched that they would actually do this. And I don't think they would do this. Like, I think they would just go sign, you know, Joe, or go trade for Joe Flacco and keep Alex. Like, that's what I think they would honestly do. But I think it would make more sense to take a financial beating this year, whatever the actual number is, and then be clear moving forward. And a guy like Foles, who's going to make 20 plus per year, you would take the financial beating this year, and then essentially Foles' money replaces Alex's money moving forward starting next year. That to me is the way, if you're going to do it, that you do it. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're too loyal to Alex, and I think they still are holding out hope that he comes back and is a part of their team and part of their football operation moving forward, and not just some veteran leader type, that he's an actual player for them moving forward. So to go after a veteran doesn't make sense to me because of that. And then you have your stopgap guy in Colt McCoy. Like, he's that guy. Don't go get another veteran stopgap. What's the point of that? How much better are those guys going to be than Colt McCoy? And then you get a young guy. But maybe they do want multiple options because they know that maybe they don't like the quarterbacks in this class or whatever it may be, and they really don't want a rookie playing this year at all, so they want multiple veteran options. Especially when I say they, that could be Jay and Bruce, who know there's a lot of pressure in terms of their jobs being on the line for them to win this year.
Craig, what surprised me about the Redskins' interest in Flacco is that seems like a we're close type of move, and maybe that's just Bruce Allen is deluded into thinking that the Redskins are actually close to contending for a playoff spot. That's why it didn't make any sense to me. And by the way, I don't think Denver's close either, so it doesn't really make sense for them to acquire him either. But he's going to be there in mid-March.
You know, I do think they're closer than a lot of people do, but that's also the league in a lot of ways. Like, when I was younger, I worked with a guy who used to always just say, it's an 8-8 league, it's an 8-8 league, it's an 8-8 league. And, like, he's right. The league is designed for every team to go 8-8. And so, you know, the way draft picks work, the way the salary cap is, all the competitive balance factors, and also just the randomness of football. There's so many guys that have an influence on so many plays. You're going to generally have pretty, you know, close competitive type of games. And over the course of a season, a couple teams get a couple bad breaks. Those teams wind up going 6-8, 7-9. A couple teams are on the good end of those breaks. They go, you know, 9-7, 10-6. And that's really where most of the league lives. So the idea that they're close to competing for a playoff spot, I don't think is actually that far off. I mean, they went 7-9 last year with all of those injuries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at one point were 6-3 before their quarterback broke their leg. That to me says, yeah, that team could compete for a playoff spot next year. But that's different than being a championship contender, and that's where they're not close. And that's where I think maybe they have delusions internally if they think that they are championship contenders. But I don't think it's that. I think they're focused on, let's make the playoffs. And again, that they is Bruce and Jay, who know that if they do not do that this year, unless there's some more really weird circumstances, or they hit a conscious reset button at some point that is approved by ownership, that they might not be here moving forward. That's the goal. And I think sometimes we lose track of that as fans and media who can look a little bit longer term. What's best thing for the franchise? Most of this league is save your own ass. And that's where, you know, a lot of decisions get made.
Joined by Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter. You have opinions about Landon Collins, who apparently is going to be available from the New York Giants. Tell us why the Redskins should be interested.
Because he's really good. it starts there. He's a hell of a player. Physical, has a lot of range. And then, you know, he's got the Bama background, and that matters. These guys that come out of that program have a different mentality than mostly the rest of the NFL. There are certainly plenty of other guys that have elite mental makeups that did not go to Alabama, but it almost seems to come standard out of guys that played for Saban. So to get that leadership on the back end is something they need desperately. It's why they brought in HaHa Clinton Dix, who I believe was at Alabama right before Landon Collins, if they weren't there together. Actually, they would have definitely crossed together. I don't know whether they ever wound up starting together. But because Collins is a significantly better player, I am far more interested in him than I am in re-signing Clinton Dix. That position, safety, is one that we saw how big of an impact it had when DJ Swearinger was playing at an elite level for a stretch at the beginning of last year. And so they need that. They need that in this defense. And so it's one of the few positions, one of the few guys I would spend real money on going into this offseason when I look at the free agent chart. Like, there's definitely other players who I like, definitely other players who I think that they should sniff around on. But if Landon Collins becomes available, I would spend not an unreasonable amount, because that's never the right play, but they should make a really competitive offer. And if they have to overpay a little, fine, for Landon Collins, in my opinion.
So what do you think they are ultimately going to do at quarterback?
I still think they ultimately wind up drafting a guy and having Colt and, you know, figuring out some kind of third option that's way down the list on veterans.
Sam Bradford or someone like that?
I mean, Bradford seems like the deluxe version of the minimum veteran option. Bradford, I don't think is playing football anymore. I think his knee's jacked. But someone
of that ilk, though. Yeah.
Yeah, someone who is, if he was your starter, you'd go, we're screwed. We're going 4-12. But having that guy in the building, the classic quintessential backup type. But, you know, the more this stuff happens, man, with Flacco, and you hear them, you know, you see some of the Vegas odds on them with some of these other veterans, you're going, maybe some people know some stuff that I don't, and maybe they do make a run at a veteran. Right now, I still just think the thing that makes the most sense financially, and knowing how aggressive they're being in evaluating these rookies, is that they take someone relatively early in the draft, and Colt McCoy and that person compete eventually for the starting
Murray,
job.
Will Murray and or Haskins throw at the combine?
You know, I don't know, actually, which is something I should know at this point. I have not seen any stories that they will or won't either way.
I don't think they've announced it. Yeah.
The thing is, the most important thing is the interviews, and especially for Murray, by the way. After he had the Super Bowl week he had, where he just threw himself in front of a moving bus, like, he's got to go in and impress these guys in interviews, because that stuff matters. I talked to front office people that were like, this isn't good. Like, if you're going to be the quarterback face of the franchise, leader of men, you can't have one foot, you know, one toe in the pond. And so now that he's committed, like, they need to talk to him and really feel out, okay, are you committed for now, or are you done with baseball? And are you ready to love football and put in the work that it requires to play that position in that league? So I'm very curious on that part. But the throwing part, honestly, it's all secondary to the tape.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Craig, appreciate the time as always. It's Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline.
See you guys. Yep. Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
See you.
I don't think the Redskins will just eat Alex's salary all this year, right? It's just too much.
It'd highly unlikely.
It'd be a PR hit, too.
And the way they keep talking about it, like, oh, yeah, we hope, you know, we'll see what happens. He's a Warrior.
But I think they might go out and sign a veteran. I think the fact that they were after Foles or Flacco tells me they could be in the mix for Foles somehow.
It just tells me they're not satisfied with Colt McCoy being the starter, even if you draft somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just went back and looked at all the first and second round quarterbacks drafted all the way back to 2007. Now, I kind of have to throw out last year because they were all rookies. Mayfield looks like he's the real deal, but who knows about the others? And the year before it was Trubisky, Mahomes. Mahomes looks like he's the real deal. But, man, hard-pressed to, you know, out of 30 quarterbacks, hard-pressed to find four or five that you really like.
Right.
And that's first and second round.
Yeah.
There were some years that, like, Bortles, Manziel, Bridgewater, Carr, Jimmy G, all right? On the surface, looks pretty good. But how about the year when you had Cam Newton, Locker, Gabbert, Ponder?
One for four.
That was the year that the Redskins were thought to be in the market, and Shanahan said, I'm not drafting any of those clowns. I'm not overdrafting Blaine Gabbert or Christian Ponder.
The year in 2012, Luck, RG3, Tannehill, Whedon, Osweiler. All first and second round guys. Luck obviously is legit.
They're suspects.
You're getting one out of four, maybe one out of five in the first two rounds.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We'll switch gears here and talk to our guy, Mr. Skin, right now. Joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He's got his 20th annual Anatomy Awards, and he has a book coming out, Being Mr. Skin, 20 Years of Nip Slips, Cheek Peeks, and Fast Forwarding to the Good Parts. How you doing, Mr. Skin?
Yeah, it sounds funny when someone says it like that, but yeah, I can't believe I've been doing this 20 years.
And just, it's so much easier now. You don't have to do that fast forward and rewind thing.
That's right. No, you know, it's funny. When we did a little analysis at MrSkin.com, where, so the year before I started the website, there were like 19 shows total that featured female nudity. I'm talking television shows. 10 years later, there were 29 in 2008. In 2018, there were 144 television shows that featured female nudity, you know, because you added all the Netflix shows and Hulu and Amazon Prime, and it's just crazy. We're really in the golden age of, you know, nudity in movies and television. It's crazy.
Well, it's just a more permissive society now. We're not so uptight.
And believe it or not, there were 147 shows in 2018 where dudes got naked, believe it or not.
That's a lot. That might be too much.
Cakes like that.
We got to draw the line somewhere, right?
Mr. Skin, is it just me? I feel like you don't have as many awards this year. Have you tightened it up a little bit?
Oh, no, no. We have 42 awards at the site. If you go to MrSkin.com, I have 42 total.
Okay.
I just sent you guys like 20 just so you'd have some stuff to, you know, some of the highlights. I didn't want to overwhelm you with all the awards and make it tough to find everything. I just sent some of the highlights to you guys. But, yeah, we have 42 total, and it's a fun way for me to curate all this stuff. There's no way you guys could see all the stuff that came out, and we find for the Anatomy Awards, it's just real fun, weird, crazy nudity across, you know, television and movies.
So. But you also have a Skin Achievement Award, so a Lifetime Achievement Award. tell us why Nicole Kidman received the award.
Well, we always recognize every year with the Anatomy Awards someone who has had an incredible career in nudity. And Nicole Kidman, I couldn't believe I had never given her one. I think the big reason was she was continuing to get naked, so I was kind of waiting for that to die down. But Nicole Kidman has been nude in 19 movies or television shows. Wow. It started in 1986 in an Australian movie called Wind Rider, and she was still doing nudity in 2017 on HBO's Big Little Lies. So I consider Eyes Wide Shut her best nudity, but we did Nicole Kidman this year for our Lifetime Skin Achievement Award.
I notice also you're giving an award for music videos. Miley Cyrus wins, and I can't blame you.
Yeah, we that was for Best Butt, and she was in Nothing Breaks Like a Heart.
Right.
Is a music video. And, yeah, you know, if it's a movie, a television show, or a music video, it's fair game. And all you have to see is Miley Cyrus in this. She's in the front seat. She's goes to the back seat of the car during the video. And the picture speaks for itself. You'll understand why that won our Best Butt of the year.
Who were the contenders?
We saw
it. Who was the competition?
Well, there was like Betty Gilpin and GLOW, Dina Shahabi and Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. I mean, obviously there was a ton, but, you know, eventually, and hey, someone's got to do this, but we have to narrow it down to just one, and I have to make the final call. So I just thought this is such a spectacular scene that we had to give Miley Cyrus our, our best backside of the year.
Yeah, so. Let's take that. Now, I don't know how to pronounce this or say this on the air. You know, things are so crazy now. Valdez, help me with this. The Rosamund Pike award that she got for best, like, burger. Can I say that?
From behind, yeah, best, yeah. Right. No, I know. I know some of this stuff's a little
weird.
Tough to talk about on, you know, terrestrial or whatever. But this was interesting. Rosamund Pike is in a movie called A Private War.
Right.
And she plays a war correspondent, Maria Colvin, and it's a great scene. She's completely nude in front of a mirror. Then she gets into the a very intimate look, and it was a fun award and a pretty wild one.
And let me say this. I think someone needs to buy her a razor. I was a little surprised. Were you a little surprised?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool nude scene, and the movie's called The Private War. And she was in like she was the wife in Gone Girl with Ben Affleck. She was in Die Another Day, the Bond movie with Pierce Brosnan. So she's a pretty well known actress.
I know that like maybe less grooming has kind of been the trend of late. Have you noticed it in your awards? Like, can you break down a percentage?
Well, look, in the 70s and 80s,
right.
Merkins didn't exist, right?
Right.
There was no need for that. And now it's to the point where with all the shows that are from a bygone era, you know, the television shows that like a Boardwalk Empire that was from the 20s or Game of Thrones and all that, it's kind of hard to have actresses, let's say with hardwood floors, if you will. But, but so it's different. So Merkins have become a big deal. If you watch The Deuce on HBO, there's a lot of use of Merkins. We even now give an award. Catherine Hahn won Best Merkin for the movie Private Life. She was in one of the moms in Bad Moms, and it's a long scene with Paul Giamatti where she's just wearing a shirt, but she was wearing a Merkin. It's like a furkini, and that's very common now. If anyone invested in
a
Merkin business within the last 10 years, they're probably doing pretty well.
She was Porky Pigging it, like the female version of Porky Pigging.
Yeah, but they're fake, though, is what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So do we think Rosamund Pike's is fake?
I don't know.
No, word on the street is she was not wearing a Merkin. So.
How can you tell? How can you tell, Mr. Skin?
Well, I mean,
you are an expert.
You are professional.
On this, but based on the watching the scene in its entirety and seeing past nude scenes she's done, we're pretty confident in our assessment of that scene. So, yes.
Very nice. Talking to Mr. Skin, his 20th annual Anatomy Awards are out. You go to MrSkin.com. Has a book, Being Mr. Skin, 20 Years in Nip Slips, Cheek Peeks, and Fast Forwarding to the good parts. You kind of have a comeback award. I think you call it your best nude at 60. Tell us about this one.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's always fun. I'm always love when actresses, you know, it doesn't always have to be someone in their 20s to do a nude scene for it to be great. And Andy McDowell is a great example. She did a movie called Love After Love. It's about her longtime husband dies, and it's about her relationships after that. And, you know, she's 60 years old, and at the 50-minute mark did a nude scene, and she looks fantastic. And I don't know if a lot of people saw this movie or know about it, but that was our best nude at 60 nude scene. And I can't say there was a lot of competition for that, but it really was an awesome scene. She looks great. People tell me that have seen this, like, oh, my God, I had no idea she was 60. She looks great. So great nude scene from Andy McDowell.
All right. I don't know anything about Altered Carbon. Now, I see a scene here that you have, a still shot.
Not your type of show. It's a very sci-fi show.
Yeah, it's sci-fi.
Yeah, that's probably why. But is nudity like this still you have here? Is that a common part? Is that a theme of the show?
Oh, yeah. So every year I give an award during the Anatomy Awards for best TV show for nudity. Now, you know, 10 years ago, this was a nice award. Now it's like, I mean, if you win this, you got to have a ton of nudity, right? So my skin scouts that follow this stuff, there were 22 nude scenes in season one of Altered Carbon. It's a Netflix sci-fi series. It's based on a well-known book. And you probably don't know these actresses. Martha Higuerita, Daikin Lachman, and Kristen Lehman were the main players who did a lot of the nudity, but 22 nude scenes. This beat out The Deuce and a number of other shows, and a lot of the nude scenes were like this, full frontal and fantastic.
What are the top three shows right now?
Well, you got to say Game of Thrones. See, there wasn't a Game of Thrones in 2018, so it wasn't eligible, but you know that's coming out in a couple months, and I guarantee you we'll be talking about that at the next Anatomy Awards. And The Deuce on HBO is always loaded with tons of nudity, and it's from a bygone era, the 70s, so it's,
right.
You know, it's very Merkin heavy, if you will.
Nothing from Ozark caught your eye? They had that one opening scene they kept playing over and over and over throughout.
Yeah, no, Ozark was good. It didn't make my Anatomy Awards. That's one of the shows. You know, when people ask me what television shows do you enjoy, I really love Ozark. It's like a guilty pleasure show.
Right.
I like it. And yeah, there was nudity in there, but it didn't. None of that rose to the level of my 42 Anatomy Awards. So.
Right. Gosh.
Mr. Skin, do you watch The Punisher?
I'm not. The answer is no.
There's an actress in that. She looks like she might be Persian. I don't know the actress's name, but she had some really good naked scenes. She has a phenomenal body. Phenomenal.
Oh, you mean that? That's in the show, The Punisher.
Yeah.
No. Well, I got to tell you that it's one of those television shows where. People are always saying, do you watch The Punisher? I'm not those type of shows aren't, you know, my cup of tea, but yeah, you're right. And the girl's name's Amber Rose, I think you pronounce it like Reva or something.
Yeah,
that's probably
it is.
Who you're talking about.
Yes.
But I haven't, I don't watch the show as one of my
she's got some good scenes.
Shows, but I know all about John Bernthal and all that stuff, so...
Most of the nudity here that seems to be award winning is more coming from television than the movies, right?
Yeah, it's just because of the sheer numbers. It's you know, we obviously still have a lot of movie stuff, but it's so overwhelming the amount of TV nudity. Like I said, 144 shows that you're gonna get great stuff, and I didn't want to separate the two. I think at this stage. We're all in agreement that if you watch like an hour of Game of Thrones, it's pretty much like watching a movie, you know. And instead of dividing this into the best TV nudity and the best movie nudity, I just like to keep it all in one.
All right, gotcha. Mr. Skin, congratulations. 20 years.
Unbelievable.
Keep it going.
Yeah, thanks. No, I mean, the fact that I've I've been doing this 20 years. I really, truly have one of the greatest jobs in the world. And I have to get we have a big meeting today on the best lesbian scenes of the year, so I got to get to work soon. Yeah. So, yeah.
Very important business. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Wow.
I thought you were going to maybe bring up your scene, EB, that you had the boys all watching from a week or two ago. Scene from 2 weeks ago.
That's just straight.
That's different. That's
Mr. Skin's above that.
Not his wheelhouse.
Hey, you should nominate it. You should nominate it though for best rigor mortis.
There was some acting.
You know what, EB? The Big Pickle Awards.
Could do that.
All right, comedian Ali Sadiq's joining us in studio now. You can go see him at DC Improv.
Yes, you can.
DCImprov.com for tickets. I didn't catch the beginning of the conversation. I kind of walked in the middle of the conversation, but he was talking to EB on how he goes to certain towns based on the weather, or he schedules his whole comedy tour based on weather.
Yes.
He comes to DC when it's terrible out, when it's
because
cold.
Because he knows people want to stay inside and go to shows.
Right. I guess, right? Yeah. When it's beautiful out.
But shows are at night. Like, that's what I don't quite understand.
Yeah, but he's got it down to a science. He knows.
Hey, man.
Somehow he knows.
20 years, man. Yeah. Got this down.
So around here.
I mean, if you think about it, at night in D.C., people are outside, outdoor bars, outdoor restaurants, sitting out on patios.
Yeah, but he says not when, but then they're maybe not going to comedy clubs then. When it's really
not in February. That's when they will go into the comedy.
That's what I'm saying. In the summertime, they're not going to comedy.
In like June or July, they're doing what Jason's talking about. They're out and about. They're in Clarendon.
I got on shorts. I got a t-shirt on. I'm not going in.
But then there are other places, like you said, in Florida. People will go out. Why? Is it because it's hot all the time?
It's hot all the time. They just go.
Right.
Like last year, I started off in Edmonton.
Right.
Yeah, Alberta.
Now that's cold.
And it was like it's snow. It was like. It's funny when somebody pick you up and they start telling you the worst things first. Hey, you know, this is the type of weather that people die in from their own breath, from breathing.
Right.
That was recently in Chicago.
Just
say in Chicago, don't go outside.
There were two college kids.
I think it was at University of Vermont when it was them on that Arctic cold blast, whatever. Mm-hmm. These college kids were probably not chasing tail, and they came to 2 in the morning trying to go home. They froze to death.
Yeah, it's awful.
They were hammered, passed outside.
Yeah, they didn't make it back.
Yeah,
because it was one of those deals where you weren't supposed to be out there for more than like 10 seconds.
Should have watched the weather.
Yeah,
and then you have donks like Jason taking a cup of water and throwing it in the air.
I did it once. I wanted to see if it actually happened.
Did it work?
What's that called? Yeah, half of it worked. It wasn't that cold.
Right.
If we were in Minnesota or North Dakota, would have froze instantly.
He's a big weather guy.
I don't even know. Do people stay in North Dakota, like, for real?
I don't know.
Like, very small population.
What is the population?
Have you ever toured there?
I think
the population is under a million.
Yeah, like, North Dakota, South Dakota. I don't even, like, can we get him? Can we sell them to somebody?
South of Canada?
Yeah. They right there. They need it.
So you avoid that. What other states have you not been in, you've not toured, that you don't do? It's just
Wyoming. I haven't been to Wyoming.
Right. That makes sense.
Well, there's just no population. You're smart. You're avoiding these spots because they're massive states, but there's nobody living there.
756,000 in the entire state of North Dakota.
And North Dakota's pretty big. Like, right. How much bigger is North Dakota than
Montana?
Probably 10 times.
Yeah, probably 5 or 10 times.
I mean, Montana. I understand people love the Constitution, but how does it make sense that they have as many senators as California?
I don't know.
Man, it makes no sense at all.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Are there states that you go or cities that you go that might surprise you that we might think, oh, that
was Iowa.
Really?
I was very surprised that I even had two fans in Iowa. Like, I was like, stop it. Like,
right.
They're like, yo, you sold out in Iowa. I'm like, stop it. What is it? Nothing else to do in Iowa. And I'm coming to town. And like, hey, maybe he's an alumni of the school. Like, what?
But what is it like, though, when you were also talking about during the break that you went did a show in Minneapolis and had 13 people. As a comedian, when you have 13 people.
It was the summer. I wasn't even mad. I just looked at it as a mistake.
You just do it as a conversation with the people.
I don't even understand why comics get upset about small crowds. It's not like they didn't start in front of a small crowd.
Right.
I remember doing a show for three people. For three people. This old in San Antonio.
Hmm. Hopefully, you weren't getting paid by like a person that walked in the door. Hopefully, you had a flat fee, and then
I was just starting. The man gave me $100.
Okay,
$100 is good.
It was crazy. It was three comics, and It was raining. It had a something happened. The weather. It was a dude named Santa and two white ladies.
Right.
And I'm doing the show, and he enjoying himself, and everybody else like half doing their show. I did like an hour and 10 minutes. I'm like I'm in my show, and he gave me $1,000. The
really?
Promoter gave me $100. Santa gave me $1,000. And what's crazy is he actually owned the whole entire strip. Mm, in wow. San Antonio, the whole thing, he's like, yo, this is Santa's place. You know what I'm saying? And then you go outside, it's his liquor store and it's his corner store in the end. I'm like, see, you should have did your whole show. Run it all the way out. Don't half do it.
Right.
Hey, and hey, if whatever's out there, I'm performing.
You know, I know last time we had you, and we told you about your whole story, Ali's whole story, like, you know, going to prison and learning that whole deal. But I also saw your. I love racial observations. To me, I love it. And I saw your bit where you talked about when you moved into your gated community.
Yeah,
I thought that was brilliant. I love it. I don't know if you want to tell the boys, but it's just there's a difference between moving in the gated community and maybe when you move into maybe
the hood.
The hood, right?
Like I promise you, I have a different respect for white men and their children. Like white men have no problem embarrassing themselves in front of their kids.
Right.
Every other week, some white man fall off his roof. I'll just be out gardening. All of a sudden, I'm like, I know what that was.
You know the sound.
I know the sound. I look on my gate. Just laying, I'm like,
now, are you in a diverse gated community?
No.
Well, they said it was diverse, right?
No.
On the brochure and everything?
It said that the brochure was really multicultural, but
right.
No, not at all. It was like, I'm talking about white, like lily white. I'm
right.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I like all these houses around here. It's only me. You are you serious? He's like, and this dude's like, yeah, man.
And it's different. Their welcoming committee is a little bit different, right?
Very different. People don't come to your house in the hood to welcome you to the projects. Hey,
give you brownies.
Welcome to the projects.
Right.
Like, it's just not a thing.
But do they actually still do it? Because I've moved into a neighborhood. I don't know that happens that much in real life anymore.
Do you have who is your homeowner association person?
I'm like a townhouse community, though.
Yeah,
people come in and out. I know like two neighbors.
You know two.
That's about it.
He's antisocial.
I know my street.
You know,
I know my whole street. Like, I know everybody on my street. Let me tell you, when we didn't all know each other at first, but let me tell you what happens. You have to throw all that to the wind when it's flooding. Harvey changed the whole game.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, I have a friend that's in the military. He sent the military to my house to make sure my house was good. They was already out there. And the other people, I was like, check everybody. You know, and we was going to the storm out because I was out of town and when this was happening. And my lady was like, yo.
So where is this? Where is this?
Houston.
And Houston.
Harvey,
I'm talking about. It was insane.
Right.
And like my attorney, he lives like in this other, you know, this well to do.
Right.
This makes my neighborhood looks very
poor. So you're in a gated. He's in like triple gated.
He's like in a, you have all type of people. You got to sign in twice to get in. Like,
right.
Yeah, you pull up to a gate and then they sign you in. Then you got to go some more and they sign you in again. Like, so which direction are you going? Which state are you going?
Right.
He always has this thing about he drive his Aston Martin. Okay, cool.
Right.
So I drive a Ford F-150, a big truck.
Yeah,
very good.
Big truck guy.
Fits in well in Texas. Look at that.
Mud tires, you know. And plus, I do it so I won't get stopped as well. You know, when you're in a truck, black people just know, get an F-150, big tires on it, lift it. You can do as much as you want to do in traffic. They don't know who's in there.
Right.
Just know that. They have no clue. Yeah, and I have an American flag. That sticker, everything. I got everything going.
Gun rack.
I got it going. How you know? I got the gun rack with no guns on it.
You
know,
I got
a record.
Have the gun rack.
I got a record, so you know you can't do that.
Right.
But you know, hey, I keep it dirty sometimes. Just throw mud on it. You know, a little bit. You know, keep it moving.
No tints. You don't have tints, do you? Are you tinted?
You tint your windows?
They all tinted.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, do you ever get pulled over for that? What I don't understand is how do people get away with that? Because you can only be tinted so much. You know,
I've seen people with dark tint. I'm like
black.
Like,
you can't see anything.
Can't see nothing.
Right.
And mostly Asian Asian.
Really?
Yeah, mostly Asian people.
Where are they hiding?
I don't know. The triads got something to hide. I don't know.
What happened to the rim movement? It seemed like 15 years ago.
I think it's dead.
Is that kind of dead?
The rim movement? Yeah. You know what happened? Potholes. People are like, oh, the city's not fixing these streets. I'm not buying rims. It's over.
I had like low-profile tires. I had those. Were so cool. I went through like 5 or 6 of them with one car. It's just ridiculous.
Who was our guy? You got your car pimped out.
Oh, I can't remember that guy.
Exhibit.
Ball or something. I can't remember his name. I can't remember. But yeah, do people even still drive with the low profile, like rims and tires?
I guess if you're in a Maserati or some little sports car, but man, I'm truck all day.
It destroys your wheels and tires.
Anybody, like, I was calling all the women who thought men who drive motorcycles were so sexy. I was like, could he come pick you up in the flood?
Right.
Like, man, it was like, you know, you have a kayak. Like, people was giving me nonsense about having a kayak. But when you live in a gated community, people ask you to do things. And my neighbor Ted, like, yo, we going kayaking. You want to go? I'm like, I don't have no kayak. He's like,
you gotta go buy one?
You know, he's like, I got an extra one. I'm like, how you got an extra kayak? But so after that, I went and got one.
You got one?
But let me tell you the problem. When you kayak with people who really kayak,
right?
And then you tell your hood friends about kayaking. And he's like, yo, let's go kayaking. I have hood friends that make a lot of money, and right. So they don't have a lot to do during the day. Just imagine you showing up kayaking. 4 people. You got a regular standard kayak. Look just like it was when you bought it. Who airbrushes a kayak to match helmet and car? Like, who airbrushes a kayak? My man got Gucci. First of all, you're not supposed to have Gucci nothing going kayaking. He got brain boost like, yo, look. See how I freak my kayak out. Did you airbrush your kayak? Look, I got the rims. You airbrush. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. Like, and it was like 3 of them. Like, they had them. I'm like, you know something? You're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to paint.
Just be regular.
Everybody.
Hood friends. And hood friends.
And wasn't even getting in the water. Just got them parked. Just got them parked. Like, I hate y'all, man.
Where do you keep your kayak? Do you keep
in
it
the
like,
back, in the shed.
Oh,
right?
You got to keep
like,
it in the shed.
In the, right on the top. You got to put it at the top.
So how tall is it? Are you tall?
I'm good with hanging stuff now.
Oh, you are?
I hang everything. Like, I got this long ladder my people could never find. I'm like, it's on the ceiling. Just take it down.
Right.
Because I have a nice shed.
Do you hang bicycles?
Everything.
You hang everything?
I have 3 bikes hanging. A Giant, a Specialist, and what else? A Cannondale. All hanging.
You're all man, into
you're
that?
Like an outdoor nerd.
Do you understand where I live at, man? I can't come over there with no swing and no huffy.
I guess. Man, you're highfalutin.
Everybody cycles in my neighborhood.
Do you get all dressed up like in the Lance Armstrong outfit?
I cannot be an outsider. In this thing. I got the cycle shoe. Let me tell you the problem, though.
So you're all about keeping up with the Joneses.
When you cycle, just cycle around white people. Right. Don't take it to the hood. Because I stopped cycling because I couldn't take the pressure of what they were saying about me in the streets. It was like, yo, anybody checked on Ali? I think he lost his truck. Because I'm on a bike. This bike costs almost much as my truck. Like, right. Yo, do you understand when you go into a bike planetarium is not where I grew up. But I, you know, Huffy, Swin,
right, right.
Mongoose.
Yeah, sure. Right. Same as us.
I went in. You know, my neighbor Ted told me, you know, go get your bike.
Ted.
I go in and I'm in there.
Ted's whisperer.
I'm like, yo, man, it's a lot of off-brand bikes in here. I've never heard any of these bikes.
Right. They're expensive.
Like, I'm like, what is a Giant? What is, man, I want to. And I'm like, yo, sir, what is the price of this bike? Because apparently somebody left their social security number. Right. And he's like, that's the price.
Right.
No bike has a comma in the price. Are you serious? Right. Like, what? Okay, sir. What does this bike do once I stop moving my legs? Do it pedal itself? Right. What else does it do? He said, you can carry it.
Right.
You can run with this bike. I said, see, this is a bunch of nonsense. If I buy a bike, obviously I don't want to run. I don't want to use my, right. I don't want to do none of that. Why would I be running with a bike?
Right.
And then you get a bike. First bike, bought a Giant and really like, then you start getting uppity with your little bike. I'm in Walgreens.
Service?
I'm in Walgreens with my bike on my shoulder, picking up things like And I felt so privileged. I was like, yo, you know, I'm not locking my bike up.
Right. You gotta bring it with you.
Unbelievable, man.
It's, man.
And so you have the shoes and everything?
I have the shoes that you lock in. Now, I suggest when people get these lock-in shoes, practice. Right. Practice, you know, trying to be fancy.
Yeah, like when you stop, do you know how to get your shoe?
I know how to get my shoe out, but I try to keep
keep it moving.
Keep going back and forth with my shoes. I failed the first time trying to do it. It's this big thing that they do in Houston every last Friday of the month called Critical Mass. And it's like maybe 2,000 bikers. Like everybody just bikes. And I'm trying to do the little cool thing at the light and fail. Because I couldn't get my foot out fast. So it's like my wheels are just up. And this lady, man, sometimes I hate black women. She just rolled her windows down like, baby, you know you ain't supposed to be on that bike. I said, that's all you going to give me? You ain't going to help or nothing? She's like, baby, you know you ain't supposed to.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're joined in studio by comedian Ali Sadiq. He's at the DC Improv through Sunday. I believe both of Saturday's shows are sold out. So just go to dcimprov.com for all of your ticket information.
He's a real renaissance man.
That's really weird. Saturday is sold out. What is the 23rd?
23rd is Saturday.
It is?
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
So I'm recording an album on Friday then.
Okay.
The 22nd.
According to dcimprov.com, both Saturday shows sold out.
Somebody want to see me record my album?
Come on. Let's do that. Like,
we don't want to hear his album.
Ali is a real renaissance man. So, I mean, you know, in the last break, he's telling us about kayaking and cycling and everything. During the commercial, he's telling us about his garden.
Turns out he's a white guy.
I mean, my God.
Look, my friend Phil told me, you do know that you're whiter than most white guys. I was like, man, no, I'm just adventurous now.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to do stuff. You know,
do you like rock climb or do you do any of that stuff?
I've been rock climbing.
You have?
I've been tandem skydiving.
You've done
I've
that.
I've been snorkeling.
Do you go camping?
One time.
You did go camping?
One time. I'm not really. I know I learned a lot about me camping that I'm really not comfortable sleeping outside.
Right. I don't like it either.
You know, it's like I need like a roof and sheetrock. You know, I need
glamping.
Those things. You know, I can't hear stuff and be comfortable.
Right. Like if a bear is outside, like, yard like, outside of your tent.
It's like, you, it's like, man, and this is things that you do with the people that ask you. That's not a comfortable.
It's disconcerting.
Did you hear about the guy that killed the mountain lion?
The guy was running.
Was just
and
out
the mountain
for a
lion
run.
Attacked him.
Killed him.
It was a baby
strangled,
mountain lion,
strangled
but still.
40-pound.
40-pound mountain lion.
Oh, yeah, that's like a pit bull. Yeah, you're supposed to do that.
Really? Like,
yeah, they could do some damage. That guy was banged up.
I mean, he's got claws and teeth.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to go in.
Yeah.
In your mind, whatever.
Fight. You're going to take some punches.
It's like, what? If I'm telling you, I'm not going to allow a mountain lion to kill me. I'm not doing it.
Right.
Because ever since, remember it was like 2 years, but remember when the guy in Orlando allowed the alligator to eat his baby.
Yeah, that's
a
horrible story.
And so now I was telling
just a terrible story.
I was telling the story, and people were getting mad at me because of my perspective. I'm like, yo, I think the man was trying to get rid of the baby.
Oh.
Because nobody lets their baby walk around in Laguna at 9:30 at night in Florida. It's just not happening. I say even puddles of water, I don't even step in Florida. I don't know what's in there, a puddle. So they was mad at me, and I said, wait. And a white lady saved my reputation. 2 weeks after that, white lady, mountain lion, jumps out, grabs her baby, and she snatches her baby out the mountain lion's mouth.
Right.
I'm like, so how can she get up that baby out the mountain lion's mouth? And he couldn't go get that out again. I don't understand it. He didn't put up enough fight for it.
That was like out of Disney, right? They were looking for like 30
deal.
Seconds or something.
Well, don't
right?
they have
Wasn't
signs?
That the deal?
They have signs.
It just
got
the
signs.
Baby and then went right back underwater, and that was it.
It's signs all around. In Florida, it's signs everywhere. Beware of alligators.
Right. You don't need a sign. You just know in Florida.
You know you're
like
in Florida.
South Carolina and south of
the
that.
Same
there's
thing.
Gators everywhere.
They had an amusement park called Wet n Wild in Florida.
Yeah.
Me and my daughter went, and I was still concerned in a music park. It's water. I don't know. Like, man, look, don't get on this slide. It looks like something in there.
Yeah.
until the person comes up. Oh, that's a man.
What do you have? Are you? I gotta imagine in Texas, there's a ton of snakes, right? Are you terrified of snakes?
No, I'm not. I'm not scared of nothing.
Really?
Like I'm scared of like small bugs. I don't like small bugs on me.
No, but like, don't they have like rattlesnakes and all that stuff out there?
They got all that, but I'm not scared of that. Your encounter with a rattlesnake is very, like, you have to be in their environment, their habitat.
They're not out in the neighborhood. They're not showing up in your toilet. No. Like a python in your toilet you see every once in a while.
What we have is a raccoon problem. Raccoons are a very disrespectful animal. Like, I'm just letting people know that raccoons, they don't have no respect for you, your garbage, whatever you think this is going to happen. Like, man, raccoons.
Is that what I had in my backyard that was lifting up
they're
all
going, yeah, they're going through your trash.
The raccoons, like,
they're literally lifting up your can.
On top of the trash
and
can.
And they moved it.
They moved it.
They're smart. Yeah.
Man, they got hands. They have hands. They have hands and gloves. They know they criminal mind. They got gloves and a mask already. Right. This is the only burglar animal. This is a crazy animal, man.
Yeah.
And they look at you like,
that's
like
true.
What, man? Like, go in the house.
I did have a
I'm going to go in your trash. Go in the house.
Problem, yeah.
And I was in Costa Rica, and they have a raccoon problem, and they have a dog problem. Apparently, people in Costa Rica only like, they don't like dogs. They like puppies.
Hmm.
It's two different things.
Right.
They like puppies.
Right, cute little puppies.
Right. So once they're fully grown, they've lost.
As soon as your face starts to mature, they put you, like, you know, he's a grown dog.
Right.
They're everywhere.
The streets.
It's just everywhere. So I'm at this resort, and I walk out. It's a dog just sitting. I'm like, yo, man, what you doing? And it's like we had this thing where you walk out and you can walk right into the pool.
Yeah, that's
and
nice.
The dog was like right in front of the steps. Like, no, no swimming today. I'm like, man, yo, you can't even shoo him. I'm like, get out of here, get out of here. He went to the other side. He was like,
he waiting for food?
No, he just got out the way of the steps. He was like, oh, I'm gonna go right here then. Now you can swim now. And I was like, and then we just kept him for the rest of the week. Like, it's like we was there for a while. We just kept him.
Should have brought him back to Houston.
I should have.
Are you a sports fan?
Yes.
Are you a Rockets fan?
No.
You're not.
You don't like the beard?
I like the old Rockets, which, you know, Olajuwon and, yeah, you know, them.
You're
old
school.
I literally hate, and I want to say this with a lot of it on. I want people to know this. I literally hate James Harden.
Why?
Like, I hate anybody who. You're not hitting your shot right now. What's wrong with a traditional layup? What's wrong with a two? What's wrong with 2 points? You have to shoot a three. We're already down. You shooting threes. You're not hitting them, man. I can't.
That's the league now, though, man.
But that's a dump. That's why I don't watch, you know, a lot. It's
a
problem.
I'm kind of with you.
It's a problem. Like,
kind of with you.
Everybody shooting three. Why is Joe Embiid shooting a 3-pointer? Like, what is your problem, dude? Like, so don't nobody like 2 points.
Nope. Done the math. Like,
gotta have three.
Can't hit free throws, but can hit. Like, I hate them, man.
Look at 7-footers shooting threes.
Ollie, we gotta run. It's Ollie Sadiq. Go out and see him. He's at the DC Improv this weekend.
Thank you.
You can
buddy.
Get tickets at DCImprov.com.
He'll teach you how to kayak.
After all that
Watch
great NBA talk.
Story.
After all that great NBA talk, we'll send you to a game. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We're hooking up people with tickets to see the Wizards take on Indiana this Saturday, Capital One Arena. Tickets still available through the Capital One Arena box office or at Ticketmaster.com. It's courtesy of the Washington Wizards. You can get more details at thefandc.com/contest. All right, we got to get out of here.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Thank you.